You're listening to BFF.FM. I got my mouth stapled shut by a buffalo. I like pizza. And you?
BFF.FM. We're not buffalo experts.
Good morning. You're listening to B-Side Dreams here on BFF.FM.
I've tried every way not to walk down 23rd Street again, but the glow of the neon is calling from the liquor store that's at the end. I'll take the 27th Street underpass, embrace her with all of her broken glass. Couple blocks from the barbecue, I'll slip down my dark avenue. I'd go there with my money, I'd go there with my possessions to sell. I'd go there when I was desperate. Some go sick and even come back well. Tried every way not to walk up 23rd Street again, but the sound of the freeway encampment, that's the sound of my nights again. They tore downtown with no class, replaced with corrugated metal and glass. Still the rumble of the overpass blankets the city in exhaust and ash. I found a new place, my little darling, where 23rd Street never begins. I found a new place, my little darling, where 23rd Street ends. This was my broken city, with a million dreams never standing still. In this prosperous city, there's an emptiness even money can't fill. So sometime near the end of fall, leave the saints at the St. Vincent de Paul. I changed out of my yellow cap, so I don't buy any more things wearing that. Don't bother asking where I'm at. I've gone back home, back to my cowboy hat. Found a new place, my little darling, where 23rd Street never begins. I found a new place, my little darling, where 23rd Street ends. Where 23rd Street never begins.
Good morning. You are listening to B-Side Dreams here on BFF.FM. And today on the show, I have guest Greg Ashley, who is a musician, recording engineer, producer, and now a writer. And he lives in Oakland currently, but he's moving back to Texas. Hello, Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning. And do you want to say something about that last track we just heard?
Like a lot of my songs, that's about the neighborhood that I live in. And 23rd Street. I mean, you can buy drugs on 24th Street, 25th Street, or 22nd Street, but you know, 23rd Street is the better of the options, and that's what the song's about.
And all right, and that's not,
it's about leaving. And
yeah. So that's not, that's just a demo track that's not released yet on any of your albums.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we're going to play some stuff that you've produced as well as songs that you've written and recorded. And that was called 23rd Street Song. And now we're going to play a track also of yours called MDMA. Do you have any intro for that? Should we just proceed?
Well, it's called Radio MDMA.
Radio MDMA.
It's a similar theme, but this song is more about psychedelic drugs and kind of a different kind of escape from reality, you know. 23rd Street is about escaping through hard drugs or leaving that escape. And Radio MDMA is more about, kind of unveiling the reality of existence through, drugs like ketamine or LSD and things like that.
Right.
You know, which are an escape in a different way, you know. Like, I kind of think of, you can't run away from your problems with psychedelic drugs, because they amplify reality. So if your reality is not the best place to be, then you don't want to drop acid and walk around my neighborhood, you know.
Right.
Because that's scary in the first place, and it's just scarier if you do that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and you talk about that a lot in your book, which we're going to talk about as well. Which is your book called Anecdotes or Greg Ashley's Anecdotes? How do you refer to it?
I guess either way.
Okay.
I've never thought about that. Either one.
Okay. So what prompted you to write the book?
I'd been thinking about writing this book since I was about like 19 or 20 years old. But I didn't do it until last year, because I didn't have enough material, you know what I mean? It was just kind of the right time. Essentially, the beginning of last year, I went to rehab for 3 days, and upon entering, you know, they said, you know, of course, bring your guitar. You can play your guitar anytime you want. You know, the end of day one in rehab, it was, oh, you can't play your guitar in this room. And mind you, I'm playing a classical guitar, the quietest guitar
right.
of all guitars, you know, not amplified, you know, with my fingers. And as time went on, it was every room became the quiet room. And they only let you into your bedroom from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. So, and they, you know, they feed you your pills before they let you in your room. So, yeah, I only had about 20 minutes a day to play my guitar. So I just started writing because it's the only thing I could do.
Right.
Because I couldn't make any sound. And, yeah, I wrote a bunch of stuff about that rehab place and detox, none of which I actually ended up using in the book. But it kind of got me going finally on just writing these things down. And I always wanted to tell the stories of me and my friends growing up and all the just ridiculous things that we did. And before I moved to California, I didn't realize how ridiculous the things that we did were until I met, you know, normal people. and they were just like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you and your friends? You know, and I'm just like, what? You didn't have Freon when you were, you know, 15 years old and skip school every day and, you know, all this stuff. And they're like, no, what? You're crazy. And all the people you know are crazy. And then, yeah, and then I was like, well, there's good stories here. And
yeah,
I don't know, you know, and
you've had time to brew on it a little bit. And then you had all that time in rehab, like quiet time to just like let it all kind of pour out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I was only there for 3 days and then I left because it was bullshit. But you know, after I left, I just kind of, you know, I'd gotten a start on it. So I just started, you know, I wasn't drinking or anything. So I just kind of put myself on a schedule. I woke up at, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning every day, went to bed around 8 p.m. And I'd write for 4 or 5 hours every morning, and then I'd get stoned and walk around Lake Merritt. And then about the time the sun went down, I'd go back to bed and kind of, that was kind of what I did. And I just, I just remembered all the stories that I'd told a million times at the bar or wherever, you know. And yeah, that was just kind of I kind of give myself a project to do every year. And that year it was writing a book instead of making a record. And that was
cool. And where you can get the book online?
Yeah, you can get it at anecdotesbook.com.
Okay, cool. So you're just calling it Anecdotes?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the name of the book.
Okay, let's listen to Radio MDMA now, and then we'll be back and chat more.
Take this pill. You've just gotta live with it. You've gotta live with it. You've just gotta live with it.
There, you are listening to BFF.FM. This is B-Side Dreams. I'm here with my guest, Greg Ashley. We're playing some songs that he wrote and recorded, and also some tracks that he produced and engineered. So in that last round, we heard a track by Greg called Radio MDMA, and we talked a little bit about that on the intro. And then we heard a track by Dick Stusso called Getting Loose. Greg, do you have anything more you want to add about Radio MDMA, or do you want to talk about Dick Stusso?
Yeah, let's talk about Dick Stusso.
Okay, cool. What about Dick Stusso?
Well, that's a stage name. His real name is Nick Russo. I recorded his second LP. He recorded his first album himself. As far as I understand, he played everything on that one, and then it was put on the internet, I guess, and it was, you know, just got kind of had some sort of following. He put together a band. He got picked up by Heart of the Art, and then I guess his plan was he was going to record his second album himself, but his apartment got broken into in Oakland, and they stole his computer and all of his musical equipment. So that was where I came into the picture, because I guess
it was all the gear he was going to use to record it.
Yeah, okay. all the gear he had used to record his first record got stolen, and one of the guys in his band knew about me and my studio, and so that was how he ended up hiring me, and that's how I heard about him, and it's great stuff.
And you recorded that like 2 years ago, 2017 or 18?
Yeah, was it?
I think the album came out in 2018.
Yeah, so I guess it was.
Yeah.
You know, it was somewhere in the year prior to that.
Yeah.
It was fun. They're all great guys.
Cool. And then after that, we heard the Passionistas with Gotta Live With It. I had never heard of them before. What? Tell me about them.
That I did a really long time ago. I think I did that. I don't think the record ever came out, which was a shame because it's, I loved it. You know, they're just weirdos. I think it was like 15 years ago or something like that. We recorded it in one of the guys.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was that. Okay. I thought it was like 2009 or 10 or something.
No, it was before. I bet it was the summer of 2007 because I hadn't gotten my 16-track machine yet, the one that we used for the Matinees records. I was still using my 8-track reel-to-reel, and I came over to San Francisco, and we recorded it in the basement of one of the guy's parents' houses, and I don't think his folks were too happy about it. I remember them complaining about the noise. It's one of those things that just got lost. I haven't talked to those guys in years. And
yeah, they were hard to track down online. When I Googled them and like the name of the song, I had to put just to like bring something up, and I kind of just got a quote from Kelly Stoltz about how awesome they were, but then I couldn't find like anything else about them.
Oh, that's right, because yeah, Kelly recorded them, I think, 6 months or a year before I did.
Okay.
And so I think there's another unreleased album that Kelly Stoltz recorded, and then they hired me to record them, and I think maybe a 7-inch came out of that, but yeah, every once in a while I'll remember it, and I'll listen to the record, and I'm like, wow, this was so good.
Good. Did any of the people go on to do anything else?
It's been so long, and we didn't really stay in contact. I hope they're still doing music.
All right. So now we're going to play another one of your tracks. I could either play From Hazel to Yellow or Bullshit Society.
I would do Bullshit Society, I think.
Okay.
It's a special place in my heart there.
We can do it on the internet radio. Mm-hmm. All right, this is Bullshit Society by Greg Ashley.
Living in a bullshit society, I wanna stick my head in a hole in the ground. Nobody gives a shit about anything, and the middlemen are running the show. Here's your consolation. Here's your consolation prize. Here's your consolation. Here's your consolation prize. We're being led by a bullshit generation.
Consolation. gently turning over the rock.
Hey there, you're listening to BFF.FM with me, Jamie B-Side. I'm here with my guest, Greg Ashley, and we're talking about songs he's written and recorded and bands he has produced and recorded. In that last round, we heard one of Greg's tracks, Bullshit Society, and that's off his album. Wait, is it called Pictures of St. Paul Street? Okay, I think I just had a typo in there. So is there anything you want to say about that?
It kind of speaks for itself. Okay. And I don't...
That came out in a couple years ago, that album.
Yeah. I wrote it probably, I don't know, maybe like 4 years ago or something.
Most of your solo stuff is on that label, Trouble in Mind, right?
They put out two records of mine, and then the latest record that came out of mine was on another label out of Milwaukee. It's called Oh God, it's early.
I know. We get the 9 a.m. memory pass.
Yeah. Dusty Medical Records is the label that put out my latest album. Trouble in Mind did the two prior to that. That tune is, something that unfortunately comes to fruition more and more. Every year,
right. And then after that we heard the band La Di Da with Mortal Secret from their album Underweather. So you worked with them recently?
Yeah, I did that record and the record prior to that, and Rosie Steffi is the singer and the songwriter, the keyboard player, and I've known her for something like 15 years, and recorded a bunch of her different projects and whatnot, and she just makes amazing music.
Okay, and that's the Bay Area.
Yeah, Oakland.
Cool. I think most of the people that you work with are, not all, but. And then we heard Charlie Magera with Alligator Man from the end of Teenage.
Yeah, and he's from Israel. Where in Israel he's from. I think maybe Tel Aviv, but he had been living in Berlin for quite some time, and his records were put out by the same guy, Iran, who put out my Leonard Cohen cover album. So that was kind of how I got hooked up with Charlie.
Okay. And then we want to talk a little bit about The Creamery, your recording studio. So now it's based in Oakland, but you're going to be moving back to Texas, where you're from, in about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you're building a studio in Central Texas.
Yeah, it's on... My parents have 80 acres in the country near a... this tiny town called Kasi, and it's kind of, if you think of Dallas and Austin and Houston as being like a triangle, it would be in the middle of that triangle. So it's two hours away from each city.
Okay.
So,
and you're going to keep the Creamery name?
Yeah, because I learned the hard way that
you don't
rebrand.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Unless you're extremely famous, if you're the Beatles, you can all do solo records and stuff. But when my old band Gregory broke up, I decided that, I was only doing solo records, and learned the hard way that I should have just continued to call everything Gregory, like Brian Jonestown Massacre is just that guy Anton,
Okay, so you feel like you could have just continued. Was that your like project? Were you the like? Did you start that band?
Yeah, I wrote all the songs.
Okay.
It was, you know, it was my band. It fell together accidentally when I moved to California. It was pretty much when I left Texas in 2002. You know, I'd had a few bands, and my Texas band, The Mirrors. You know, that was what I did before Grigri. And when I moved to California, I told myself I'm never gonna have another band again. I'm not gonna, like, because it's such a pain in the ass, you know, coordinating, you know, four or five other people's schedules and personalities and all of these things.
Right.
You know, so I come to California and, you know, I tell myself I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just gonna make my own solo records, play by myself. And then I met Oscar, who's a bass player, and he, you know, he said, you know, I want to play bass for you, you know. It's, and I was just kind of like, okay. And then all of a sudden, his, you know, he's like, oh, we should get a drummer too. And I'm thinking, oh, this is becoming a band. So we get Joe to play drums, and then my solo record Medicine Fuck Dream came out, and then I wanted to do. And that was the record that I'd finished the whole recording, the whole thing except for one song in California, and it's pretty much all by myself. But I wanted to, when Birdman Records decided to put out that record and picked up the band that became Grigri, you know, I decided I wanted for the record release show to try to recreate the album live. And so then I'm at Oscar's house one night, and there's a Wurlitzer electric piano there, and I ask him, whose piano is this? And then his roommate is Lars, who became the piano player, and Lars says, oh, my dad gave that to me. And I asked him, do you play piano? And he said, you know, I did when I was a little kid, but I haven't played in, you know, a dozen years. And so he learns all the songs to do the record release show, and all of a sudden, you know, I have a band, and, you know, everything that goes along with that.
Right.
And, you know, it was great. And, but it just, it fell apart after a couple years. We did, or I don't know, a band for like 3 or 4 years. It just kind of, it was one of the, there wasn't like a big falling out or anything. It was just, we were all tired of doing it. And, you know, I didn't really understand the business aspect of the music industry, and I kind of thought of, like, when the band broke up, I always hated those bands that retained the same name but were around for like 30 or 40 years. You know, it was like the, you know, the Kinks were one of my, you know, all-time favorite bands, you mm-hmm. know, but, you know, their 80s records.
Like, it's late not 70s. The Kinks anymore,
yeah.
to you.
Yeah, it's a different aesthetic, you know. It's some, you know, it's with that band, at least it's mostly the same people, but, you know, you'd still feel like you got burned when you picked up the wrong record, you know what I mean? Whereas, like, some bands, you know, just broke up after a couple records, so you always knew, like,
what it was going to sound like.
Yeah, there's, you, those are the two records. You get them, they're good, you know, that's that, you know.
I know, but, like, a person doesn't change their name just because they're different, you know? Like, you're still Greg Ashley. You were Greg Ashley when you were 15, but you're not the same. You know, you can't, I don't know, yeah. Like,
yeah,
it's,
but it's
a hard call because it's like, oh, yeah, they change and this is what they became later. I don't like that as much, but it's still the same people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying, but I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, what I did was stupid. I should have just kept that as the name that is me, because, you know, it's like getting your foot in the door.
Right.
Is so difficult, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, most people are not, you know, like, crazy music fans, you know? You, like, like, you know, I'm not interested in sports, but there's some people who know like every baseball player's name,
right?
And you know, they, you know, and that's cool. That's because that's their thing. But for me, it's, you know, like that's something that's in the background of my life, you know, wherever, you know, like, I mean, we hear who wins the World Series, but I don't care, you know?
Right.
And those people, you know, they know who Michael Jackson is and blah, blah, and it's, you know, and that's great music. And you know, it's, but it's kind of in the background of their lives. Whereas like, you know, like we know who, yeah, well, you know, who like, go back to the Kinks, you know, like everybody knows You Really Got Me Now and Lola.
Right.
You know, but like, I don't know if you're a big Kinks song, but you know, like, I know they're obscure, like unreleased yeah. songs. And I'm a nerd about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I like a bunch of weird music,
yeah.
you know, like I know who Rocky Erickson is. And, you know, I mean, he's popular now, but still people that aren't music fans will, those, you know, like,
yeah,
things that aren't totally shoved to the forefront or, you know, not noticed by those people.
Right.
You know, and that was kind of like what, kind of what I learned about like the music industry. And it's one of the most disappointing things about it is, you know, you can put anything on in the background for people who are not avid music fans.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it doesn't matter what you put there. So why do you put shit there? You know, like,
right.
like, you know, since it doesn't matter anyways, like, why not put something that has like some artistic value rather than...
I think people just want, in a lot of situations, they want someone to recognize it because then the person feels good about themselves. They're like, oh, I know, I remember the song from the, you know, like that memory of the song is like, they buy into it right away for that reason. So I can, so like, I'm not justifying it. Like, mm-hmm. I think you're right, but I think that's why people are just like, oh, let's stick with what people know or what people hear. But yeah, you're right. Like, if you would replace it with other stuff, then that would become a memory too, and they would know that. So,
yeah. I mean, it, you know, it's the, it's, you can, yeah. And the only reason that the things that are popular today are popular is because they're backed and promoted with money. You know, it's not necessarily because it's good music.
Right.
Or, you know, says anything about the human condition and things like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
lots of the most popular music on the radio is just about, you know, I have all this money, you know.
Yeah.
I have all this power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Right. All right. So we'll play a couple more tracks. What do you think? I've got your track, Pour Out the Champagne. We can do...
maybe From Hazel to Yellow. That's one of my favorite new songs. That
okay. We'll play another track by Greg called From Hazel to Yellow. And then maybe you'll hear from us again. Maybe you won't. Because we're kind of starting to reach the end of the hour. So yeah, here's From Hazel to Yellow.
I've noticed a change in the color of my eyes, blue into gray with the movements of my life. Now they are yellow, so this is a sad song. This is the end. I thought there'd be something beyond the void, but I bet there is nothing beyond that void. the gutter. I thought it was sacred. I found the gutter. Cocaine and hatred. And there was the void where the street hit its mark. I've noticed a change in the color of my eyes, gray into black with the movements of my life. Again they are yellow. This is a sad song. I've been broken. Have you ever been robbed? Held up at gunpoint? Have you ever been beaten? Until you are broken. That's just the void where the street hits its mark. Final